This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Friday morning. We made it to the weekend with barely any baseball. Both local teams golfed last night, and the story of the New York Yankees having to sleep in an airport. They haven't played a game, a full game, the entire week, and have had to deal with some crap this week for sure, having to sleep in an airport and some of them on an airplane. The Mets off, maybe that's a good thing. And we got some hockey postseason and some NBA to dive back into this weekend. But I look at the back page of the Daily News this morning and I see Jacob DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard in New York Yankee uniforms, which is something we were talking about yesterday on the show. And seeing that is just a brutal, stomach-turning sight if you're a Mets fan, and I'm sure it makes you laugh if you're a Yankees fan. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I appreciate the Daily News actually getting something right these days. But I will say that as we were talking about this yesterday, it totally makes sense from both team standpoints, especially if the Mets do not get back into the mix here. I mean, you know, they have been kind of floundering around for 3 weeks or 4 weeks now. And that's one of the reasons why I brought it up yesterday, because the Mets have what the Yankees need and the Yankees have what the Mets need. And what the Mets need is they need an influx of young talent. And if you are the Yankees, you're going to be looking for a top line pitcher. One of those two guys could be great for the top of your lineup. If, in fact, you know, you're looking to try to acquire a guy like that. And, you know, look, we got a long way to go before we get to the trading deadline. And yesterday we had a caller. His name was Naff. Naff is from Long Island. Naff is seeing it the same way that I'm seeing it. And if I am Sandy Alderson and I don't have the GM of the Red Sox, the Astros, and of course the Yankees all on the phone bidding for the services of these players, if in fact that's where I'm going to get to in about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever it is, then I am not doing my due diligence. I am not doing the right thing for my organization. And if for some reason my owner comes walking in and says, oh, by the way, you can't trade with the Yankees, shame on you too, because at the end of the day, it is about making your team better and moving forward. Now, Brian Cashman did that. And he did it expertly 2 years ago when he traded Andrew Miller and he traded Chapman. And he fortified his minor league system. And he did an unbelievable job. You remember, we lauded him for it. And luckily for him, at the end of that year, Gary Sanchez had that nice run. So he at least kept the team interesting. They kept winning. And he was hitting home runs and everything else. So the fact that the Yankees basically threw in the towel by making the trade, I think, was made a little bit softer of a blow because of Gary Sanchez's emergence as the new catcher of the Yankees. Now, I don't know if that will happen for the Mets, depending on who they can acquire for one of these two pitchers if we get to that point. And again, yesterday, a lot of this stuff was conjecture on my point, just thinking that the Yankees need a top-line pitcher. And we always think, okay, Cole Hamels or we look at Kansas City, we look at maybe Arizona's falling off here a little bit, but I'm saying to myself, the guy's sitting right here in the same city that you play in.
Yeah, and it's fun to talk about. It's fun to dream about, at least from a Yankee perspective, from a Met perspective. I guess it's sort of fun to talk about, too, because you think about all the prospects the Yankees have that could develop in a Mets uniform. But, you know, I really don't believe either team will end up doing something like that.
Which
the bigger issue, though, is the Mets getting to that point where they're thinking about trading those guys. Not to the Yankees, just trading them in general. And do they do that this season at the trade deadline?
Yeah, yes.
And is Sandy Alderson going to be the general manager past this year? Those things start to come up. You start to think about it. How bad does this season get if it does go in that direction? And when do you decide to really turn the page on the group that you have now? And also remember, I mean, you signed a couple old dudes, as you have said, in Jay Bruce and Todd Frazier, to multi-year contracts in this offseason. So if you're tearing it down, you're also tearing it down, leaving those guys there, which is a difficult thing to do if you can't find trade partners for them as well, which you may be able to do.
But, I mean, no one was really interested in them in the offseason other than the Mets. So are they going to be interested in them now at the prices that they signed for? I don't know.
You know, it was 2 years ago when Brian Cashman decided to go down this road. And it was a road that I think was hard for people to swallow. But they understood after they lost that series. I think it was in Tampa. They got swept in Tampa. And Cashman said, you know what, we're out of it. You know, this team is not going anywhere. It's floundering. I got to do something here. I got trade value. I got chips. Let me go do this. Let me make these trades. And then, by the way, he brings back Chapman and pays him $100 million, which was a stroke of brilliance as well, because now you have your closer. He's locked up for a while now, and you have your closer. You have your setup guys with Robertson and Canely. You got Green. I mean, you got Warren when he comes back. I mean, you got this whole team is refortified, and all they really probably need to move forward is a starting pitcher, a top-line starting pitcher. And that's what makes this whole thing so fascinating, especially here in the city in which both these teams play. But I will say this. When you saw Brian Cashman do that, other general managers around here started to take note of what was going on and how they handled it. And I know that's exactly why the New York Rangers went down the path that they went down and why they were so open about it. And you know what? It hurts, because when I watched last night the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Washington Capitals, they're all those ex-Rangers are standing there and they're all playing.
Yeah.
And I'm great for them. You know, they don't have to be the men down there, because they got Hedman, they got Vasilevsky, and they got Stamkos, and they got Kucherov. And then the Ranger players that they acquired basically are support personnel down there. Nobody's wearing a C. Nobody's wearing an A. You know what I'm saying? They're all just players on a team where the stars are somebody else and homegrown stars for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I understand why Jeff Gorton did what he did with the Rangers after watching what Brian Cashman did with the Yankees. And this is why Sandy Alderson and Jeff Wilpon and Fred Wilpon are going to be looking at this saying, okay, look, you know, we're putting this half-assed team out there with this older team. Cespedes can't make it through a season. Bruce can't make it through a season. Frazier can't make it through a season. Gonzalez had some moments, but he's not going to make it through a season. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
I know. What is the practical application of understanding where the hell you are as a franchise and what you desperately need to get your franchise and make sure your franchise is going to be relevant for the next 10 years. Brian Cashman recognized it and did it. Jeff Gorton is recognizing and is in the middle of trying to do it. And I think that we're going to get to a point this year where Sandy Alderson and Jeff Wilpon are going to have to sit down and say the same thing. Are we going to flounder around 500 and bring these older players in and they're all hurt, they're not playing? Or are we going to get young, we're going to get hungry, and we're going to get fast? And are we going to be a team that's going to have to be reckoned with like the Phillies and like the Braves for the next 10 years?
Well, the X factor is how bad the farm system is right now, where it's ranked in Major League Baseball.
28th out of 30th.
Now, if the Mets had a lot coming and you said, wow, look at this guy, this team in the next 2 years is going to be young, they're going to be like the Braves, they're going to be like the Yankees, then I would say, all right, you stand pat, you see what you do this year, and then the future is there. But the fact that they don't really have a future in the farm system is really what is the catalyst for this idea of moving on and really tearing it down. So when the Mets are around 500, six games out of first, they're going to be thinking back to 2015, where they made, you know, they bought in and they made a deal and they went to the World Series, when they should probably be thinking the other way, which is, we don't have anything. The future of this team is basically nothing. It's Syndergaard, DeGrom, and hopefully Rosario turns into something. Conforto's got to get back on track. And then a bunch of stopgap free agents. I mean, that's basically what the team is. And Cespedes, who you see yesterday, a quote from a Major League scout that says he might never be healthy again, which is something
that's
crazy.
I'm going to hold, because one scout says that, hold that against
Cespedes. But I mean, that's some of the stuff you say, though, that the guy's never healthy.
He is never healthy. And, you know, it's frustrating. The whole thing around him is frustrating. It's a whole other story. It's one of the reasons why he's been on so many teams. It's one of the reasons why he accepted a shorter contract, because nobody else was going to give him a contract. Why? Because you're watching it.
Yeah. Well, you brought up the Rangers and what they did. They remember the run they went on after they sold everybody off? They won a couple games in a row, like inserted themselves back into like that eighth playoff race?
Yes.
Like that. See, right there is... Right,
that's because you're scared of the guys that are on the roster at the moment.
Sure, right. But they still had an opportunity. The reason I bring that up is they still had an opportunity to make the playoffs. They weren't totally out of it when they
sold their captain.
Hold on. You're not understanding what I'm saying. Before they made the trades, they still could have gone on a run and made the playoffs, and they still made the decision to get rid of everybody.
Yes.
That is what the Mets have to think
about. They have to be realistic about what the hell their problems
are. Right. If they're around 500, if they're a few games out of the second wild card, they really have to look at themselves in the mirror and say, are we really capable of turning this thing around and making it into something? Is this team capable of doing what we did in 2015 in this National League? And that's going to be the toughest decision. That's why I said I either want them to be 15 games over 500 or 15 games under 500.
Yeah, not around 500.
At the trade deadline to make it clear what the path is going to have to be.
What's going to be interesting is when the Yankees and the Mets meet in the Subway Series and just watch the two teams, assuming that they, you know, are relatively healthy. You just watch the two teams, watch how they play baseball, watch the energy, see who has it, see who doesn't have it. And if, you know, that's the thing to me, like, you know, talking to a couple of Met players, they're all telling me, you know, we got to beat those guys. We got to beat that. They're aware of what's going on here. But I would just say that, you know, be real to the fans, man. Don't be trying to jam crap down our throat and tell us that, you know, you're a team that, you know, is on the cusp of winning a World Series. You're not. You're just not.
Yeah, it's
and
amazing.
I hate saying it because it's a team that I watch every game. I want them to win. I want Jay Bruce to hit 35 home runs. I want Cespedes out there in left field gunning guys down. You know, there's moments where you watch these baseball teams and you say to yourself, wow, man, they still got it. And then all of a sudden, the more you see, the more tired it gets, the more injured it becomes. And then the reality starts to set in. You're saying to yourself, man, where are we going from here? What is the future of the franchise?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anybody believes that 11-1, 12-2 start can happen again at any point in this season. It doesn't.
Brandon Nimmo does.
Well, right. He's the only guy. The most positive man in Major League Baseball, Brandon Nimmo, believes they can win 22 in a row, and they'll be able to figure it out, and they'll go on some sort of epic run. Just about everybody else doesn't believe that. And then the days of the salt and pepper grinding that was going on in the first couple of weeks of the season. I don't even know if they do it anymore because I barely see any guys on base. And if they're on base, they end up getting stranded there because they're 0 for a million with runners in scoring position. So,
well, you know, it'll be interesting to see now what happens with the Mets, the decisions they make as we move on forward here. Now, the interesting thing also, I sent you this text yesterday, the Diamondbacks have basically fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
They may be playing worse baseball than the Mets.
Yeah, offensively, it's like historic how bad they've been recently.
All right, so the question I have for you, if they do play tonight, and it looks like there's going to be rain throughout the weekend and all that other stuff, this could be like an arduous process over this week, tonight and tomorrow. You know, with the rain and the stoppages and are we playing, are we not playing? Kind of like what happened with the Yankees and the Nationals and all that stuff. Hopefully the weather isn't that bad. But if it is, I mean, this could be like epic proportions about how bad the offense is going to be for both of these teams.
Yeah, well, quick games, if there's not any rain delays, is probably the only thing you could look forward to. I don't think that tonight looks so bad. I think it's tomorrow that's going to be worse. And then Sunday, I think, will be an okay day. There might be some thunderstorms. It might be an okay day. But, yeah, I mean, those are the – and that really was what compounded everything, I think, the last game that we saw the Mets play on Wednesday, where you had the rain and then it just didn't – you're forcing yourself through this game and the slop and the drying agent and Zach Wheeler's giving up run after run. It was just – it was a mess. So, yeah, it could be – you're right. It could be a grind through the weekend of getting through weather and then no offense. But you know what will happen? We said it yesterday. Teams get right against the Mets. It seems like what's going – the Cincinnati Reds can't win at home. The Cincinnati Reds can't win a series. Here come the Mets. It sends them off on a little bit of a run. So whatever troubles and trials and tribulations the Diamondbacks have gone through, I will guarantee you that okay, they're going to be hitting the cover off the baseball at Citi Field this weekend because that's just the way it goes.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope that the Mets kind of somehow take 2 out of 3 here and get their season back on track. That would be nice. Now, by the way, yesterday, you were talking about your driving exploits in the left lane on the LIE.
Yeah.
And some of the dopey things you like to do and how you do it.
It's really one thing.
And
yeah.
You touched a nerve. You touched a nerve on a lot of people, I'm telling you. So last night, I was the MC for the New York City Police Foundation dinner. There were 1,000 people in this room. It was awesome. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later around 7:30 this morning. The mayor was there. The police commissioner was there. A lot of heavy hitters.
Sure.
A lot of people from all walks of law enforcement and just amazing people. Amazing people.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you about some of the amazing people that I met last night a little bit later on. But I have to tell you, I can't even begin to count how many people came up to me last night we're going to be looking for a white BMW flying out on the LIE.
Especially
in Queens out there. There are going to be people checking you out, and they're going to be making sure that you're not trying to pull a Keith Hernandez on anybody.
Well, I'm not. I told you what I do. What I actually do is I the people who are really speeding on the LIE, I try to teach them a lesson. That's what I'm doing.
Well, listen, they want to teach you a lesson. The NYPD wants you to make sure that you stay at 55 to stay alive.
Oh, 55.
That you are very aware of what you're doing behind the wheel.
Right.
Some guys said that they love you on the radio, but if they catch you speeding, they're going to slam a ticket right down. Boom.
That's what I would expect, man. There's no special treatment.
You're not going to get special treatment. As they say, as one guy came up to me and said, he goes, you know what? He's actually really funny.
Oh, wow.
I said, you should see him in person. He's really funny in person. But you know, we don't joke when it comes to speeding. I said, I know. I'll tell him. I'll make sure I tell him. So I'm telling you right now, you better behave. When you go through that Midtown Tunnel and you go through, or whether you're on the BQE, or
well, I'm not going to even tell you anything about my route home now.
You get out of here. Yeah, you just better be careful because they're going to be on the lookout for a BMW. They actually might even put it in a sign over the highway.
Amber alert.
Yeah, an Amber alert. Here comes a white BMW. Be aware.
Oh man. Well, did I tell you I got pulled over by a couple of Fifth Precinct guys? I just wanted to say hello the other day.
They just pulled you over to say hello.
Yeah. They were. I mean, it was very, very quick. Because they, of course, are not messing around, but they said, hey, saw you, just want to say hello.
We got to get back to work. You might get pulled over a few more times, I'm just telling you.
I mean, great. Thanks, Boomer. I appreciate that, man.
Whatever you said yesterday touched a nerve within the entire NYPD.
Well, but you know what? I think they might have misconstrued those comments. Because I didn't.
I heard the same thing that they heard, and I was like, I was a little shocked at you.
Oh, well, you stop.
I didn't realize that you were that kind of aggressive driver.
I'm not that much of an aggressive driver. There's one move that I do. When I'm safely traveling in the left lane to pass people, and then there's someone coming up behind me doing like 90, right. I try to make sure that they don't pass me, and I'll speed up a little bit and get them trapped in the middle lane.
Last night at Pier 60 with the New York City Police Foundation was an awesome, awesome night. I'll tell you about it around 7:30. Met some really amazing people, and what I heard out of the mayor last night was like music to my ears.
Yeah.
Music to my ears. Because if you read the Daily News, you would think that we live in a completely different city. But when the mayor spoke to this group of people last night, it was amazing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.